morning. Would someone let the hallway know that church is starting? We'd love to see them join us. My microphone isn't working. It's on. The green light is there. Good morning.
It's an attack.
It's the day. It is the day. It's Labor Day. Oh, there we go. There we are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now I understand why you didn't respond at first. You couldn't hear me. Good to see you this morning, this Labor Day weekend. You can always tell when it's Labor Day weekend, because those of you who are here, do you know you get extra points for coming to church on Labor Day? Mm-hmm. You also get the inside information that nobody else gets. There are a lot of things happening, especially starting next week, September 8th. We go back to our three services, and I have heard from all of you about that. And it's really interesting. Some of you can't wait to go back to three services, and some of you really wish we were staying at one service, and some of you can't believe that you're not going to hear that other kind of music anymore, and some of you are happy about that, and some of you are upset about that. Exactly. Some of you, anyway, you can imagine. I have heard from all of you, and I want to explain just a little why we're going back to three. Because back when this was decided, before my time, it was said for the summer. We're just going to try it for the summer. And I want to honor that decision that was made by whoever made it. I think the worship committee started the discussion and the church council was on board. So that's one of the reasons. Secondly, I have not experienced the three services, so I can't add my input at all. I don't know what they're like, so we'll see that. But also know that I am always thinking, figuring, understanding what's going on. And so who knows, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 months from now, what we'll be doing. Okay, so just keep giving me your feedback. We'll go back to three because we said we would, and then we'll see where we go from there. Also, next Sunday school starts, and that's exciting. And after the 10:30 service, there's going to be Sweet Cow Ice Cream Truck will be here, which is yummy and good news. What else is happening next Sunday? Next Sunday is the youth group kickoff time, and Kevin and I are hosting the youth group over at the Parsonage. All youth and their 6th through 12th grade and their parents are welcome, or their grandparents, or whoever gets them there. So that'll be next week as we figure out going forward what the youth group looks like. One of the things that I do know I need youth-wise starting next Sunday is Sunday school teachers. So if you are willing to reach out and work with an amazing group of kids, let me know and come and see me. And is that a volunteer back there? Okay, thank you. I got you, Andy. So that's happening. If we can have a pool of people, that would be wonderful. We have a big group of middle schoolers coming in this year, so we want to make sure we reach out to them. And finally, I want to let you know that this Sunday, during the last hymn, will be an opportunity to join the church. So I will invite people to come forward for that last hymn after we have communion. So if you are wanting to join the church and you feel like this is the day for you to do that, feel free to come forward at the end of worship. And you don't have to have been to a class first, you don't have to have decided earlier, but if throughout this service it strikes you, this is the time that I want to join the church, we'll invite you to come at the end of the service for that time. I invite you now to stand and to sing our opening song, From the Rising of the Sun.
The signs, do them.
From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord shall be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down. Praise.
I want to invite you to greet each other, and as you do that, remember last Sunday, the new welcoming statement was put forward, a statement that encourages us to welcome everyone. So I encourage you to do that this morning, to turn and to welcome someone to this place this morning.
Did you guys have a busy week this week? Yeah, we had a first full week of school, so you had lots of days of school today, this week, right? So I bet you're tired from that. How about, do any of you play sports? You playing soccer right now or baseball or anything? Yeah, does that make you tired? Yeah, so you guys have been busy with that. How about, did anybody have homework this week? I'm looking at the middle schooler. Yeah, maybe a little bit. Some homework too from down here? Oh my goodness, homework too? And then, of course, all the fun stuff you want to do when you're at home, right? All the things you want to play and the video games and all that other fun stuff. Wow, you guys are busy. So tell me, do you guys ever stop and rest? Sometimes you do. So what do you think it means to rest? Sleep. Sleep. Going to sleep so you can be ready for school or anything, yeah? So sleeping's a good way to rest. You can also rest just by being still, right? Why do you think it's important to rest? Why do you think our bodies need that? So you can have more energy for the next day. That's an excellent thought. It's exactly, thank you, Zayden. It's like these batteries in this microphone. I turned the microphone on and the light turned red. Told me there were no batteries in it. I had to go back there and ask for some help and get some new batteries. This microphone, just like us, it needed a rest. The batteries need to be replaced. They need to be recharged and start over again, right? Well, maybe, because maybe the battery's been there for a long time. That's right. So just like the batteries in this microphone, just like the batteries in my phone or your parents' phone or something, other stuff you have to recharge, our bodies need to be recharged too. We need to rest. Do you guys know that even God rested? On the seventh day, exactly. So he made everything we see, right? He made the world. He made all the animals, all the plants, all the oceans, all the stars and the planets. Do you think he was tired? I bet he was. And so it says, in the Bible, it tells us that on the seventh day, after he created everything, God rested. And it's very important that we remember that, because We need to rest. Our bodies need to recharge. So sometimes we need to stop moving. We need to take a nap. We need to sleep. And sometimes we just need to be still. That doesn't mean watching TV and filling our minds with all kinds of stuff. It means turning everything off and being quiet. It's not always easy to do. Should we try? Do you think we could all try to be quiet for just a few seconds and see what that feels like? Okay, we take a big, deep breath and just be. Good job. How does that feel? Do you feel refreshed? Do you feel ready to go? Well, I'm going to tell you guys, that wasn't very long. It was only a couple of seconds. But if you're ever feeling like your brain's going too fast or your body's too tired or you need a break, take a deep breath and just be still, okay? And don't forget to rest and take care of yourself, okay? Okay, can we say a prayer? Say, hey, God, thanks for making us busy, but reminding us to rest. Help us to remember to still our minds and to still our bodies and to just be. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us.
This morning, as our ushers get ready to come forward, I would invite you to stop and to think about all the amazing things that we do as church, and to feel deep within your heart, within your soul, that which God would place there as you make your offering this morning. Ushers.
Thank you.
measure of
We give thanks for all that we see in creation that you have done. And God, we know that you also rested and encourage us to do the same. In this day of remembering, help us to remember to honor you by returning our gifts. And we ask that you would bless them with your spirit. Amen.
Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture this morning is from Genesis 2, verses 2 and 3. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. The word of God for the people of God.
This Labor Day weekend, we are brought together to remember Sabbath, to remember rest, to remember taking a break from all that we have done. And as I started to think about Labor Day, all I could do is remember Labor Day from my childhood. How many of you in your childhood, Labor Day was the day before school started? That was kind of nice, actually, and I think that many kids today would love it as well, maybe parents too. It's still so hot, it's still so summer, and yet, no. When I was about 6 years old, one of my aunts got married, and I had this most beautiful flower girl dress. It was pink with lace and sleeveless, and I wanted it to be my first day of school dress as well, but I also wanted to wear my new school shoes. Because it was the day after Labor Day. And you know, after Labor Day, you can't wear your cute little white sandals that went with the dress. You have to wear your brown school shoes. So I did. My mother didn't take a picture of me from the ankles down, just the top of me got to be in the school picture that year. And I wondered, thinking about that memory, why that is. Why was that rule that you couldn't wear white after Labor Day ever put into existence? It's not after Labor Day yet, she's all right. I noticed these things. But what's that about? Why did they have that rule? And do we don't follow it anymore, do we? Some of you will have white on next Sunday, I know that, and it's okay. And if it's hot in Colorado, we wear our Merrells and our Keens. We don't care what color they are or what the day is. But the reason that started long, long ago, are you ready for this? It started long, long ago because it was a class thing. It was a class thing. Only the wealthy people could afford to have clothing for a season. Only the wealthy people could afford to have something that only could be worn for a few months of the year. So it was a status symbol. I'm glad we don't do that one anymore, but it became a thing. I remember my mom, my grandma changing out their white purse for their dark purse. Remember all? But now we don't do that. So that's one of the things that was a Labor Day tradition. Did you know that the National Council of Sausage and Hot Dog, there is a National Association of Sausage and Hot Dog Producers, I think, they said that tomorrow is the end of hot dog season. I know, it's sad, isn't it? It kind of makes sense, though. Back on Memorial Day, we started having cookouts with hot dogs, and can we still have hot dogs when we have the youth over? Okay, yes, we can. Phew. It's the end of a season. It's the end of a time. Here in the United States, Labor Day marks the end of summer, whether we like it or not. Some of those silly historic traditions are funny, but it's the end, isn't it? Now, we know that the calendar says that summer goes all the way until September 21st, but it's over. You have today and tomorrow left of summer. And it's sad, and it's hard, and don't you sort of start to think that way, even though we've got 90s forecast throughout this next week? Summer's over. But you know that all those funny things have nothing to do with Labor Day, really. None of those things had anything to do with the original Labor Day. Labor Day became an official holiday in the United States in 1894. One of the first, a long one, longer than even Mother's Day. And do you know why we have Labor Day? Do you know why it started? Well, the labor unions brought it about. As our country turned from being agrarian to being industrial, people worked a lot. People worked too much. Even little, tiny four-year-olds, many of the children that we see sitting over here this morning, they'd already been working for several years back then. They could be productive, not having a childhood anymore. We could put them to work with their parents, doing dangerous jobs. That's part of the labor movement. That's one of the places, too, that the United Methodist Church, before it was the United Methodist Church, got involved, took a social stance. We said, no, that's not right. These children need to be protected. And that dialogue started, and we were part of that change in labor laws. And that's something to be proud of as a denomination, making a social change for the lives of children. But people would often work 7 days a week, 15, 18 hours a day, in really bad conditions. And so one day, in New York City, they struck. That was the very first Labor Day, not one that was recognized. But they went out and they marched in the streets. They didn't go to work that day. And it was a tough time. I love the history of labor unions. I grew up in a part of the country where labor unions have a lot more force than you hear of them out here. People actually won't cross picket lines. There are picket lines. Not so much now. I think that's changed some. But in the Midwest, picket lines and unions are strong, sometimes so strong that people wonder. But that's part of our history of Labor Day, part of our history to say people deserve time off. Not only do they deserve it, they need time off. They need time to stop and breathe and rest. And the labor movement in the United States helped establish that day off. Because they knew that Christmas Day and Labor Day, at least, would be days of taking a break, days of resting, and that's an important part of our history. But did you hear the scripture that Lynn read for us? That history goes way back before the labor movement in the United States. It goes back into Old Testament times, to the telling of the story, as the story was told over and over. Now, the story of creation is one that I love, and it's a great one for our kids to hear about. The story of creation, though, is not one that we take literally anymore. Well, maybe some of you do, and if you do, that's all right. But we should talk, because most of you know about the science. You can see what's happened. So what does the 7 days mean? I don't know. Some people say, oh, it's 1,000 years. We don't know for sure. But what we know is the story of creation is a story that was handed down as an oral tradition, and not just in our tradition, not just in the Judeo-Christian tradition, but in almost all traditions. There's a story of creation because we want to know where we come from. We want to know how this all came to be. And now we can see it a little bit differently. But then they had to have the story. They had to know and understand. And so the story of creation was told. And in our tradition, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and the animals and the water and the people and the light and the dark. We believe that to be true. We don't really know about the 7 days, but what we know about the seventh day, and God rested. God rested. And that biblical story was important for the people to hear over and over. One of the Jewish laws is to take the Sabbath, to honor the Sabbath. It's one of the Ten Commandments. It's an important day. Why? Because we need rest. We need to take a break. We need to take a deep breath and look at the world around us. Jesus did that. He honored the Sabbath and kept it holy. Jesus also took time to go away. We see several stories when Jesus said, I'll be back. Stay here with the crowds. Watch the boat. Be here on the shore. And he went up and went away. He took time for himself. It's a biblical idea. For a while, throughout the labor movement, people started to have that time off, more and more time off. But that's kind of changed again. How many of you have one of those things in your pocket that keeps you tied to your job at all times? I do. How many of you have one of those devices that you feel you can't put away? It's hard, isn't it? Because people expect us to always be connected. They want to be able to get hold of us no matter what. No matter where you are. A vacation Did you know Americans don't have much compared to the rest of the world, and the vacation that we do have, we don't take. We leave it on the table. We leave those days behind. Why do we do that? Why do we forget? We need time to stop and take that deep breath. I was a little sad, Larissa, during children's time when you only had the kids sit still for a few seconds. I know that was probably best for them, but how many of you kept kind of thinking, oh, good, oh, deep breath, a time of quiet, let's be a part of that, and it was over. It was over. And we don't do that enough. Now, tomorrow is Labor Day, and we remember those who work and labor, and we give them a day off. But did you know that Labor Day is one of the busiest retail days? So all those people who work retail, guess where they are on Labor Day? Laboring. First responders, doctors, people who work in the hospital, all kinds of people will be working tomorrow. But for those of you who have the day off tomorrow, what would happen if you take it? What would happen if you don't pick up that device, except maybe to call your family and friends and say hi, to organize that last hot dog day? What would you do with that time? And what about us here in church, us religious people? What does that look like for us? We don't take a lot of time to stop. This church is a busy place, and I'm excited by that. I'm excited by all the things that you all are accomplishing and doing. But today, just for a few minutes, forget about all those things that you're doing. Forget about all those things that you have to do. We have communion here in just a minute. And the communion litany this Sunday talks about work and labor, and that's important to honor and recognize. But while you sit, and while you walk to come forward, and when you return, and you watch your brothers and sisters in Christ coming forward, what if you use that time to stop, to reflect, to look inward, to be a little selfish maybe? I don't know how long it takes us to serve communion in this church. I haven't clocked it out yet. Maybe 6 minutes. What if for that 6 minutes or seven or eight or however long it takes, what if we just rest? Rest in that time of communion. Communion is that time when we come together, yes. But this day, this Labor Day Sunday, could communion be a time when we rest in Jesus, when we rest as God did in the time of creation, as we are told to do, as our ancestors did, and as we were fought for, to stop and rest? Why did Jesus take time away, and why should you? Jesus took time away to reconnect to God. Now, 6 minutes isn't very long to connect to God, but it might be six more minutes than you were going to spend anyway. I want to encourage you all in the weeks and days ahead, as we get busy again, as Labor Day is over, and as the hot dogs get put away, and so do the white shoes, I want to encourage you to find time. What if you take 6 minutes tomorrow? You might start to like it. Now, some of you are saying, 6 minutes is nothing. I take 30 minutes every day to be quiet with God. Well, good for you. How about 38 minutes for you then? How do you grow in that time? How do you grow in your quiet time with God, your time of rest? I don't know what your schedule's like. I know what mine's like. It's a little crazy these days. But I do know that we can always make a little more time for God in our morning walk, as we see the Flatirons behind us, as we take time to stop and look around at creation and remember that God rested, and that you have permission to. I see a couple of you who are retired saying, she's not talking about me because I'm retired. Wrong. You know how I know I'm wrong? Because you retired people, you can't keep up with you. If I call one of you and say, can I get together with you Tuesday? You say, in 3 weeks or so, that'd be good. Because you're busy, busy people. So those of you who are retired, this is about you too. In your retirement, do you take time to rest, to be quiet with God. It's hard to find in different stages of our lives. Maybe for you who are retired, it's sort of like, oh, I've got lots of time. That's like me when I need to bring something to the church. I say, I go there all the time. But I have to stop and be intentional. And those of you with kids, we all know there's no quiet time in your lives until you fall into bed at night exhausted. Maybe they become part of your time to rest with God. Maybe there's a way to talk with them and find times together as a family, even if it's just a short snippet of time. We all understand, we've been there. It's hard. It's hard in our society, but I want to encourage you on this Labor Day weekend to make a plan to stop, not just for the few minutes that we're about to have, but every day or every week, or if it's once a month, whatever you can work out to understand the gift of rest. We come to a time where we remember resting, and we remember Jesus, and we remember all that God gave us, the gift of rest and the gift of God's Son. As we come to a time of communion, I want to remind you that everybody is welcome at this table. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. You just have to want to come to spend a moment or two. And while you come, I encourage you to listen to music, to be present with God, and to hear and to feel a time of rest. I hope you'll join me in this communion litany. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. There should be words. There we go. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a good and fruitful work to give thanks to you, Almighty God, in all places and at all times, and in all of our tasks, in our cars, in our homes, our offices, our fields, and our kitchens, at our tables, our desks, our telephones, and even our computers, when we are resting or waiting, laboring or supervising, following or leading. All these we do with your people now on earth and all the multitude of heaven, praising your name and joining in their unending hymn. Are you, and holy is your work among us in Jesus Christ. Jesus, who came to be born in the home of a carpenter, a trade he learned and practiced, a laborer in our midst. Jesus called out fishermen and activists. He healed the servant of a soldier. He received the support of resourceful women. Jesus delegated his ministry to his disciples, empowered all of his followers to do his divine work in the world. By his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from the bondage of sin and the power of death. You made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night which he gave himself up for us, he took bread and broke it and offered it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for the many, for this forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you will in remembrance of me. And so, as a baptized and commissioned people, remembering your mighty work in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves, we offer our daily lives and our unique locations for ministry in the world, in homes and hospitals, parks and stores, prisons and concert halls, as a living and holy sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the great mystery of faith.
Jesus, you died.
On this Labor Day Sunday, on this Communion Sunday, we remember the words that your Son taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Invite those who are serving communion to come forward, and as they make their way forward, I would encourage the rest of you to enter into a time of rest, of resting in this moment, of resting in God, of resting in the Holy Spirit. As you come, as you enter into this time of rest, if you feel this day that you're standing in the need of prayer, Carol is there to offer prayer with you. Gracious and loving God, we arise from your table, feeling that spirit of rest that only you can offer us, feeling that time, that moment. Help us to find many of those as we remember this time at your table. Bless us as we rise from it. Amen. Our closing song is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And while we are singing that, about verse 2 or so, I would invite those of you who are seeking membership in this church to join me up here.
Precious Lord, take my hand.
I invite you to be seated. Sometimes someone comes forward to join the church and people say, wait, she's been here a long time. I think you fall into that category, right? But sometimes it takes that right moment in one's journey to decide it's time to actually make a formal commitment and join the church. And today is one of those days, and we are excited that Pua has decided to come to the place to join the church. So I have a few questions for you. As a member of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to the Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will.
I will.
As a member of Mountain View United Methodist Church, will you faithfully participate in its ministries? Will you continue to participate in its ministries? By your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness. Members of the household of God, I commend Pua to your love and care. I would ask that you would do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. And I would ask you to join in this response. We rejoice to recognize you as a member of Christ's Holy Church and bid you welcome to this congregation of Mountain View United Methodist Church. With you, we renew our vows to uphold it by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. With God's help, we will so order our lives after the example of Christ that, surrounded by steadfast love, you may be established in the faith and confirmed and strengthened in the way that leads to life eternal. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come together in this place. In different times, in different ways, we say yes. We say yes to serving, and then we say yes to joining. And sometimes we decide to make a commitment. We ask that you would bless everyone in this place, no matter where they are in that journey. We ask that you would be with Pua today as she officially joins the church. We pray that she would continue in all of the many gifts she shares with us here and be with her family as they join her this morning. Be with us all. Help us to understand and know that you truly are the tie that binds us together. Amen. Welcome. If you want to go out so people can greet you. Go from this place looking for a time and a place to rest, whether it's days or weeks or hours or even a few seconds. Remember that God has asked and shown us the way to rest together. Amen.